Ezra chapter 6, beginning at verse 13. Then, because of the decree King Darius had sent, Tattenai, governor of Trans-Euphrates, and Shethar-Bozenai and their associates carried it out with diligence. So the elders of the Jews continued to build and prosper under the preaching of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah, a descendant of Iddo. They finished building the temple according to the command of the God of Israel and the decrees of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, kings of Persia. The temple was completed on the third day of the month Adar, in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. Then the people of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the exiles, celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy. For the dedication of this house of God, they offered 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 male lambs, and as a sin offering for all Israel, 12 male goats, one for each of the tribes of Israel. And they installed the priests in their divisions and the Levites in their groups for the service of God at Jerusalem, according to what is written in the book of Moses. On the 14th day of the month, the exiles celebrated the Passover. The priests and Levites had purified themselves and were all ceremonially clean. The Levites slaughtered the Passover lamb for all the exiles, for their relatives, the priests, and for themselves. So the Israelites who had returned from the exile ate it, together with all who had separated themselves from the unclean practices of their Gentile neighbours, in order to seek the Lord, the God of Israel. For 7 days they celebrated with joy the festival of unleavened bread, because the Lord had filled them with joy by changing the attitude of the king of Assyria, so that he assisted them in the work on the house of God, the God of Israel.
Well, I wonder if you've been celebrating this week. Parents of school-aged children that I've talked to have certainly been celebrating, because very soon their children are going to be back at school. Children who I've spoken to, many of them who are at school, have been celebrating because they are going to see their friends. Others have been celebrating because they've had the jab. I'm celebrating because I've booked a haircut for 8 weeks' time. That was the first I could get. What I will look like then. There is light at the end of the tunnel. We have a roadmap, as we're told, out of lockdown, and it is good news. But in my mind, we have cause today for celebration, because as a church, we are meeting in person. It's a source of joy to see one another, to encourage one another, as we worship the Lord our God together, even when we can't give each other a handshake or a hug. Joy is such a mark of God's people, a joy in knowing God, a joy in being known by God, being counted as his child, a joy in being forgiven by Jesus, and having peace and hope with God. We have much to celebrate, and we're going to see three reasons the people of God celebrated in Ezra's time. Three reasons that we too can celebrate today. But let's just recap where we're at in the book of Ezra, because it's not biblical territory that we're used to. As we were reading this morning, or as Zana was reading it, and I was thinking, if I just walked into church and I didn't know anything about this, I would think, what is this all about? Strange names like Tattenai, places we've never heard of like Trans-Euphrates, and all this talk of the temple. Well, let's go back in history. God's people had gathered around God's symbolic dwelling place, the temple in Jerusalem. Yet they had failed to worship God as per the instructions that had been given to Moses. They'd gone going back to build golden calves, idols. They'd created shrines in other places, and God warned them repeatedly that if they didn't turn back to him and reform their ways, then judgment would come upon them. But they didn't heed his words. And so the Babylonians, God used them to destroy the temple and take the Israelites captive. I think we've got a picture of the destroyed temple. Thank you. And they were removed into exile. But 50 years later, the Babylonian Empire itself is overthrown by the Persians. A new regime comes, Cyrus the king, and he sends the exiles back to rebuild the temple so they could offer sacrifices and worship God. And then tellingly, we're told, so that they could pray for him. So the building work began. The foundations were laid, but then they hit opposition. And that caused them to stop for about 15 years. And last week in chapter 5, we saw that work restart. Because God used the prophets who spoke the word of God, Haggai and Zechariah, to stir up his people by declaring God's promise, I am with you. And that shook them out of their complacency, and it gave them confidence to rebuild. And so we read this week in verses 14 and 15, they finished building the temple according to the command of the God of Israel and the decrees of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, kings of Persia. The temple was completed. And so we get the temple completed. And the little diagram on the back of your order of service gives that timeline as to what took place, so that we can locate how this happened, where this happened, and what was going on. So we are at about 516 BC. The temple building is completed, and as we're going to see in a moment, the Passover is celebrated. What a moment it must have been. 70 years had passed since the temple had been destroyed. And in exile, the people of God must have wondered, will we ever go back to our home? Will we ever return? Will we ever rebuild the temple? And yet here they were. So this is the first reason to celebrate the rebuilding of the temple. Maybe you've had that experience of a building project in your home. Maybe it's been an extension or a new bathroom or a new kitchen or a loft conversion. But perhaps, as seems to be the case, there have been problems. Fraught with difficulties. Maybe burst pipe contractors have let you down. It's more expensive. It's taken longer than you anticipated. But the day comes when it is finished, and you are so pleased. It looks great. The hassles are over. You celebrate. You have your friends round to show off what's happened. That moment when it is complete, and you can now enjoy it. How is the rebuilding of the temple, though, a cause for us to celebrate, because this temple that was rebuilt would be destroyed in time by the Romans in AD 70. Well, it was never intended by God to be permanent. Jesus prophesied to his disciples that the temple would indeed be destroyed, but he would open the way for a new temple. God no longer dwelling in a physical building, but now dwelling by his Spirit in his people. As the Apostle Paul says to those who follow Jesus, do you not know that you are God's temple, that God's Spirit dwells within you? Or to use the language of 1 Peter 2, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to offer sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. So we, the church, in a sense, are the sort of superseded, if I can put it like that, temple. Not physical, but spiritual, indwelt by God. And as we come to trust Jesus, we become part of his spiritual house. We are living stones gathered around Jesus, who is himself the cornerstone. So just as the exiles were rebuilding the temple, we are involved in building the church of Jesus Christ. It's his church. And all over the world, it is growing. And over the years, we've been privileged to see something of this growth here at Arborfield. And this is a cause for celebration. People growing in faith in Jesus. People coming to trust Jesus for the first time. And we have grown as a family of churches too. God is building his church. That is a great cause for celebration. But the second reason they had to celebrate is redemption. Redemption. Redemption is a Bible word. It's an important Bible word. It's a similar root to ransom. A ransom is the payment of a price to get something back, to release someone from captivity. So just think of these exiles. There they were in Babylon. They had no means of escape. They were captive. And that wasn't unique to God's people. Hundreds of years before, they had been captive under Pharaoh, until the time came for God to act and free them from slavery, to redeem them. We can read about that in the book of Exodus. The final straw for Pharaoh, leading to the release, was the Passover, when God's judgment was upon Egypt, killed all the firstborn. Apart from those Israelites who had protected themselves by putting the blood of a lamb over their doors. Because then God's judgment would pass over them and they would be spared. And in turn, they were released from captivity. And afterwards, what do they do? Well, they go through the sea, the parting of the way, the Egyptians are destroyed. But then we read that Moses and Miriam sing a great song. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. You can find it there in Exodus. And this Passover, this great salvation moment in their history, was celebrated every year as the people of God recounted those events. God redeeming them from slavery, freeing them. And sacrifice was at the heart of that celebration. Now, just think for those returning exiles. 3 generations had passed since they were able to sacrifice in the temple. No wonder in verse 22, we read they celebrated the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread with joy. Joy, I imagine, in their redemption from Babylon. Joy in the loving kindness of God. Joy that their sins were forgiven. Joy they could once more worship God. But we don't celebrate the Passover. We don't meet in a temple. We don't have any sacrifices. But we do celebrate the Lord's Supper when we're able to. Andy's going to say something about this a bit later on. Jesus commanded his followers to share in this meal as a reminder of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, the shedding of his blood as our substitute. The sacrifices of the temple had to be repeated over and over again, but Jesus, the perfect man, holy and pure, the Son of God, his sacrifice on the cross was sufficient for the sins of the world, for your sins and for my sins, once and for all. The Lord's Supper, therefore, is a reason to celebrate. It should be, as we remember, as we recount our redemption, the joy of knowing God, of having our sins forgiven, no longer locked down and locked up in our guilt, but released by his sacrifice. So 3 reasons to celebrate: the building of God's church, his spiritual temple, our redemption, and thirdly, God's providence. God's providence. That word providence just means God's ruling, governing the world. And we find his sovereign providence running through this chapter. Just look at verse 22. The Lord had filled them, that's the exiles, with joy by changing the attitude of the king of Assyria, so that he assisted them to work on the house of God, the God of Israel. This king of Assyria was the same king as Darius. By now he had conquered Assyria as well. He wasn't an Israelite. So why had he allowed the exiles to return? Well, the explanation earlier in verse 10, if you've got a Bible, was to pray for the well-being of the king himself and his sons. But here it's revealed to us that this wasn't just a human-inspired desire, but God in his providence, in governing all things, had caused this unbelieving king to change his attitude, to help God's people and not to hinder them. And how he did it. Again, if you've got a Bible, verse 7 says this in his edict to those who were rebuilding, don't interfere with the work on the temple of the God. Let them rebuild this house of God. He says in verse 8, their expenses are to be paid out of the royal treasury, so the work won't stop. But there's even more. He goes on to say, whatever is needed, animals for sacrifices, wheat, salt, wine, olive oil, as requested by the priests in Jerusalem, must be given without fail. The work of God, building the temple, to the glory of God's people, fully underwritten by the state. You hark back to Haggai's word of the Lord that we looked at last week that stirred them up to that rebuilding. I am with you. How that was the case. They could never have anticipated God's generous provisions and how they celebrated. What joy there is in the providence of God. And this sovereign providence of God runs throughout the Bible, not least in the appalling evil of the crucifixion of Jesus. But God brought good from this evil, as Peter says in Acts chapter 2. Jesus was handed over by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, his providence, in other words. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross, but God raised him from the dead. We are not in the grip of blind forces like fortune or chance or luck or fate. Someone said to me last week, touch wood, none of my family has had COVID. I said, touching wood will do you no good at all. That is pure superstition. We are not in the hands of a random or chaotic world, but in the hands of God. Every circumstance of our lives, every situation we face, comes as a summons from God to trust him, that he is working for our spiritual and eternal good as he promises. Now, I'm conscious that we're here we are talking about celebration and joy. We may not be feeling that today. That may be far from our minds because of our circumstances. Life may be really hard and difficult and unenjoyable. And the temptation in those circumstances is to turn away from God rather than to turn him and trust him in those difficult circumstances, in his providential care for us in all things. So let me finish with this thought. When you go home, if you're with others or on your own, take time to think and to share how good God has been as you look back in his providential ordering of your life, in his answering your prayers, how he has redeemed you through Jesus and brought you into his family. And then as we do that, we will find reasons to celebrate and thank and praise him as we should. Let me lead us in a prayer. For 7 days they celebrated with joy. Lord, we pray that you would fill us with that joy that comes from knowing you, even when we feel lacking in joy and joyless. Please would you do that work of changing our hearts, turning them to you, and help us to find in you, in the midst of the difficulties that we may be facing, many reasons that we have in you to celebrate and give thanks and praise your name.